D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Willie Donick expected to join us soon. Live at Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. A reminder that you can visit 615open.com to take part in our silent auction benefiting Folds of Honor. So in the previous segment, we were talking about Will Levis. He broke his silence. Again, I think that's an appropriate description since we hadn't heard from Will Levis in months, and he sounds like he's sad. And I get it. His life has flashed before his eyes. His quarterback life, I should say, has flashed before his eyes. But here's the question that I have. Hearing Will Levis answer the questions in such a manner, and what could be over the course of the season, should we be concerned that Will Levis will become a distraction? Now, I'm not saying that Will Levis is going to do anything to become a distraction. I don't expect him to, toss Hellman's mayonnaise off the roof of a honky-tonk and cause a big ruckus or anything like that. But just his presence, especially as the Titans are bringing in Cam Ward. And if Cam Ward struggles, there's Will Levis, right? I'm wondering if, especially after hearing him, and historically, and this is also, I feel like this is anecdotally because I haven't done the research, when a starting quarterback gets replaced, he often doesn't stick around. He goes somewhere else. And I have said previously that I predict that Will Levis will be traded by the end of training camp, maybe in a Malik Willis-style trade in late August, early September. But I'm wondering, Derek, if you think that not only if it would be best for Will Levis, if it would be best for the Titans to avoid any potential distraction and just give him that fresh start. Now, he was asked about that. I'm trying to think of the right word here. He didn't buy into it.
He danced around
it. Right, he danced around it. He didn't directly answer it. He didn't buy into the idea of having a fresh start. He wants to be here and all that, or at least that's what he said. But I'm wondering if you think it would be best, not just for Will Levis, but for the Titans and for Cam Ward, for Will Levis to move on somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he said he has no control over that.
Which is true.
Well, you do have control over it, somewhat. Well, you had control over it. Now it's in the hands of the Titans. So whether, he's here or not, if you're at, in my opinion, I don't think it would be, good moving forward if Will Levis is on this team with Cam Ward. Again, it's not because I think Will Levis is some bad teammate, because I don't think he is. I think he's a competitor. I think he's upset, and he has I understand that. I think he's upset, disappointed, one, at himself, but then two, that, he's in this situation. So I get all of that. But I'm sure when when discussions started to sort of form about drafting Cam Ward, and as they started to heat up more and more, I just got to believe that he and his representative had a talk. They had to have had a talk. And in their talk, they probably discussed several ways we can sort of approach this. We can approach this by, okay, let's just wait and see what they do, and then kind of go from there, or let's start talking now, or let's just, not say anything. Let's just go about our business and let the Titans determine it. But to me, I think Will needs to go somewhere else. I think he would have had that conversation with his agent about which road should we take. And it seems like they've taken a road of, hey, let's not say too much. If the questions are asked, let's try to keep it, team-centric. You can sort of, they'll see it in your emotions, but for the most part, let's just tame this thing down. And hopefully, behind the scenes, his representative is constantly working and talking with other GMs and seeing what their quarterback situations are. Because, again, I think Will Levis can be a good quarterback, but I just think ultimately he's going to be a backup. Now, ain't nothing wrong with being a backup in the National Football League. Ask some of these guys that backed up Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and the money they've made and the championships they've won, you know, and an experience they've gotten. And they've had to come in, some of those guys, and had to come in. Ask Garoppolo. How did he get his start? Tom Brady got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo came in. You know, and he got the job done and parlayed that to a big contract with San Francisco ultimately. So, you know, listen, he can be a backup in this league for a very long time. I know he aspires to be a starter, and I'm not saying that he can't. But from what I've seen, he may just be a career backup. But I think he wants another opportunity. And if he wants another opportunity, it's not going to happen here. And the Titans know it's not going to happen. But the Titans are going to do what's best for their organization, not what's best for Will Levis.
So whenever I think about that, like, it's a good living being a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's one player who always comes to mind to me, and that's Chase Daniel. Chase mm-hmm. Daniel played in the NFL for 13 years. Mm-hmm. He made 5 career starts in 13 years, and according to Over the Cap, his career earnings, $43.1 million. 5 starts, made $43 million over the course of his career. So you can make a good living being a backup quarterback in the NFL. Now, I know that Chase Daniel had dreams of being a starting yeah. quarterback in the NFL, and he's turned into a pretty good podcaster, actually. But I like, to your point, and Paul Gaharsky asked the question, you know, can you downshift?
Uh-huh.
You know, do you have the makeup, the personality to be a backup quarterback? Well, I don't know if anybody, any quarterback, truly has the personality to be a backup quarterback, at least when first presented with that idea, because all quarterbacks are alphas, right? That's part of the position. So any career backup probably has to, you know, wrangle with that sense of career mortality, for lack of a better phrase.
Every starting, I think, and I could be wrong, because this is just, you know, I haven't did any research on this, but every quarterback in the National Football League has been a starter at one point prior to being in the NFL.
Oh, for sure. They wouldn't make it to the NFL if they weren't a starting quarterback somewhere else.
They've been a starter somewhere else.
And as Will Levis said in that clip, it's been a long time since I've been a backup.
Exactly. So you never, and I repeat, you never, once you've been a starter, you can never shift, downshift. Now, they may force a downshift on you, but you're never downshifting, because you're one play away from being the starting quarterback again, if indeed you are the backup to the starter. You are one play. So to say, I need to downshift, well, you don't need to be playing. That tells me you're not a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
If now, since I don't have the starting job, I'm downshifting.
Right.
No. Head coaches tell you this. The most important job on the football team, or the most important position on the football team, is the backup quarterback. Because the quarterback can go down at any time. And that backup has to prepare each and every week as if he's going to play. He's going to be the starter at one point. And he may not ever be the starter for that season. Or he may not ever start a game in 2 or 3 years. But it's that one year where you've downshifted and now you got to be the starter. I don't understand that. Downshifting doesn't play in my mind. I get what you know, the question that Paul asked of him. Do you have to change sort of your mindset on how you're – no, you never change your mindset on how you approach the game. You don't. You approach the game as if you're a backup, you approach the game as if I'm one play away from it, and that may be my last opportunity. That I preach it because I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
I was that guy. Kevin Dyson was one play away. I was one play away from being a starting receiver. So I prepared like that. They will tell you I prepared. We all did, but I prepared that way. And when Kevin went down, I didn't have to get ready. I jumped in there as if I had been playing the whole season. So Will Levis can never downshift, or any one of those quarterbacks.
One texter says, Will Levis has to say and do the right thing because everything is basically a job interview for 31 other teams, which is true.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all. One texter says he's probably been told his whole life how great he is. He even mentioned he hasn't been a backup for a long time. Sometimes people take things for granted when it's given and not earned properly, and they don't realize what they had until it's gone. This could be the fire that is lit under his you-know-what, and just maybe the next time he's out there on that field, he can really show how good he wants to be. So this could be a good thing for the young man. I mean, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's all true. But I just think that as harsh as it is, Will Levis had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. He was the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. There was no competition. Remember,
which was the Titans' fault.
Right, there was no competition. Mason Rudolph was not legitimate competition. No. By the way, Mason Rudolph might be starting in Pittsburgh, unless Aaron Rodgers does whatever the heck Aaron Rodgers does. But nevertheless, that's about Mason Rudolph. He's not our problem anymore. But that's all true. But Will Levis had the opportunity, and he did not make the most of it. And was it all of his fault? No. The offensive line was haphazard at best. Did he have the greatest collection of receivers? No. But he cost the Titans too many games almost single-handedly. And in this league, you don't have that many opportunities. So I get it. Mm-hmm. And look, if Will Levis sticks around in Nashville or he gets traded to another team, I hope he gets another opportunity. But, you know, there were external forces that led to his struggles, but a lot of them had to do with what he did with the football. But I do want to ask you another question, Derek. So Paul Kaharski, again, played devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. He writes this: I'm running against the vast majority, it feels like, in thinking that Levis is the team's second-best quarterback and that barring him becoming an issue, a thin team would be wise to keep its best talent behind Cam Ward. Shipping out Malik Willis last year backfired when he came back as the Packers' backup and beat the Titans at Nissan Stadium. Yes, Levis turned the ball over in some ridiculous ways last year, but as Ward stands to benefit from an improved offensive line and a better pool of receivers, so would Levis. And this concept that Brandon Allen, who worked with Brian Callahan in Cincinnati, is some sort of safety blanket because he knows the system is nonsense. Is some sort of safety blanket because he knows the system is nonsense to me. Levis also knows the system. Sure, tradition says have a safe number two who can manage and not lose a game while you lean on the run game and defense. So Paul's point is, as I forgot some punctuation in reading that, Paul's point is that Will Levis is the second best option at quarterback as opposed to Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle. And as Paul writes, although Brandon Allen has familiarity with Brian Callahan, Will Levis has started more games in the NFL than Allen and Boyle combined. They've been in the league longer than he has, but they've started more games. That Levis has started more games. So I get that if Cam Ward goes down, would you rather have the ball in Will Levis's hands, or would you rather have it in Brandon Allen's hands?
Well, Paul, the Titans are telling you they don't think he is the second-best quarterback. I know Paul's playing devil advocate here, but, you know, in response to the devil that's being an advocate on this side, the Titans are telling you, my man Willie,
Willie Donick is in the house.
Exactly.
We'll get him set up.
The Titans are telling you they don't believe he's truly, you know, clear-cut the second-best quarterback on his team. They brought in competition. You know, listen, this is what, and this is why I said what I said right before the break. What is the word that you use? I use apathy. What did you say?
Antipathy.
Say it again.
Willie, do you know that word? Antipathy?
Man.
Antipathy.
You're going to hit me with that the first thing I'm on the air with?
No, it's good. I like it. So did we go from that to sympathy?
Right.
It seems like that's where the devil advocate is.
Now
is
we can
laying.
Write a song that has those two lyrics in it, and we're going to have something good.
Now, that's where the devil advocate sits. Now we have sympathy for Will Levis and saying, well, he's the second best quarterback. He didn't have this. Well, you know what Will Levis didn't have and didn't do? He didn't take care of the things that he had control over. That's what we say in the football world. Take care of the things that you have control over and let the rest take care of itself. But first, you got to take care of what you can take, what you can control. And Will Levis didn't take care of what he could control.
Tyree.
He just didn't.
Tyree from Antioch says, I truly believe Levis would have had a longer leash had he not literally lost games all on himself. As a quarterback, you cannot be the reason for losing games at all. You can mess up, but games can't be lost solely on the quarterback.
And that's why I go to, he didn't take care of the things that he had control over.
One texter says, it's going to be hilarious if Levis goes to Pittsburgh and beats out Mason Rudolph for the starting quarterback position. Let's bring in our friend Willie Donick here. Willie, we were talking about how we heard from Will Levis yesterday. He broke his silence, which I think is overused, but appropriate in this case because it's been months since we heard from Will Levis. And he put on a brave face, but you could tell he's disappointed. And the question that I have for you, and we're going to talk to Tim Hasselbeck about this in just a moment, is, you know, can they coexist? I'm not concerned that Will Levis is going to be a distraction in the locker room. He's going to be a distraction to Cam Ward. I'm just wondering if his presence alone might ultimately be a distraction and if the Titans would be best served to move away from him.
I think we've all, in a perfect world, been leaning that way from the start of this. And I don't think anything he's going to say or not say will change my thinking on it. I've tried to say to myself, could it work? Like, if they can't find anything else to do and they just don't want to cut him on the street when they think, you know, this, he's worth something. Let's just not. It's like sometimes when you're going through your stuff in your closet and you come across something in your closet and you're like, yeah, you know, I'm not using that anymore. Do I throw it away? Well, it's still, you know, it's in one piece. There's not big holes in it. It's not much wear and tear. Let's just keep it around, and it stays in your closet for a while. Like, there comes a point where you bring in other stuff, other things are going on, and you got to just discard it or trade it or give it away, something. I just don't think that they're at that point right now, and they're willing to go at least this far. I think it'll get to another level at the regular training camp.
Wes in Clarksville says, if Levis balls out, do you start him over Cam? I don't see a scenario. I'm sorry, Jared Stillman. I don't see a scenario in which Cam Ward does not start week one. It's just not going to happen.
But what if Cam Ward is just not ready? If he just you can talk yourself into somebody being ready or not ready, mm-hmm. depending on where you set the bar.
What do you think? Well,
what if you're just not ready?
Will Levis,
you just don't want to put him out there yet.
They are not going to give Will Levis a chance to ball out. They're not.
That's kind of goes with the first part.
They're
right?
Just
that's
not,
why they don't really want him in the closet.
Exactly. They don't. They're not going to give him an opportunity to ball out. Listen, if Cam Ward is not, you know, where they believe he needs to be, then I think they need to. That's something they need to discuss. Like, that needs to be something immediately, you know, discussed. And I'm sure they have. And I'm sure that's why he brought in a guy like Brandon Allen, because he has familiarity with him. He knows the offense and all that. Yeah. So if he is a little bit behind Cam, they can, okay, if we got to start, if Brandon Allen's looking good, we at least feel comfortable with starting with him and then going to Cam Ward. But I think unless Cam Ward just bombs completely, if that happens, everybody deserves to get fired. But if he bombs completely, other than him bombing completely, he's going to be the starter.
And I get it. And if I recall my own research correctly, 10 of the past 12 quarterbacks drafted number one overall started their team season opener. Mm-hmm. If you're drafting a quarterback number one, he's going to play. And I know that the Titans have a stiff test right off the jump, week one at Denver. Here is the requisite. It's the altitude. I have to throw that in there anytime we talk about Denver in any sporting capacity. They have a great defense, led the NFL in sacks last season, have the defensive player of the year in the secondary. It's a tough matchup. And I understand if some Titans fans are worried about throwing Cam Ward to the Wolves, or I guess the Broncos, throwing him to the Broncos from week one. But I agree with Derek. Like, I think the Titans are going to... they're not going to put Will Levis in a position to ball out.
Would it be any less pleasant in a herd of Broncos as opposed to, like, throwing him to the Wolves? Like, if you're getting
stampeded.
Yeah, I don't want to be thrown to the Broncos
just, like,
either.
Trampled by Broncos as opposed
right,
to
it's the scene from Lion. It's the scene from Lion King
exactly,
where Mufasa dies and gets trampled by wildebeest. Like that's
I would say it'd be pretty similar. That's
you don't
tough.
Want that.
That's tough.
You don't want that. I get it, but
maybe not as. I don't know. What's more gruesome? I don't know.
I would tend to say both of them are gruesome. Maybe the, you know.
The end result is the same.
The Broncos is not going to eat you. The Wolves may eat you.
Yeah.
You
know? The stampede might be over quicker. Might be over quicker.
Yeah.
You think so?
The Wolves the Wolves will keep nagging at you.
Yeah.
You may still be alive, and they still pulling
nibbling.
At you.
They're nibbling.
Yeah, this feels like this. Would you rather fight a,
yeah.
a horse-sized duck?
There are kids' books.
No,
this.
But yeah, but here's the thing with, you know, when we talk about Cam Ward and Will Levis, and, you know, that first game, that's going to be the most important game in this season for two individuals. For Brian Callahan, for one, because Brian Callahan has to design a game plan that is not going to put as much pressure on his quarterback going against the number one of the best defenses.
And the good news is he has all summer to plan for
exactly. And Denard Wilson. Why? Because you want to take the pressure off that quarterback. He shouldn't have to score 25 points to win this game. It should. If it's going to be a loss, it needs to be 17 to 20 or 17 to 14, something like that. But not something where. Brian Callahan has to rethink his game plan, and now he got to throw the ball 40 times. I think if you're in a situation like that, don't even throw the ball. Just continue to run the football.
615-737-1025. We will bring our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck, into this conversation coming up next. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us. 615-737-1025. We are live at Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. Hey, Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the Renaissance man. He's a former NFL quarterback. He's a current ESPN NFL analyst. He's the head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. It's Tim Hasselbeck. Hello, Tim.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
I'm good. At first, I would be remiss not to congratulate you on your son committing to Wyoming. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very cool. I'm proud of him, man. It's a lot of hard work. He obviously had a really good season last year, and it's fun. Like, I have a daughter that plays lacrosse at Vanderbilt. It's been fun watching her kind of chase her dream and, have a passion for a sport. And, Taylor has felt that way about playing football. So, yeah, it's actually really cool. It's really cool.
Now he gets to take down all of Josh Allen.
Yeah, move
records.
Over, Josh Allen.
Exactly. Hasselbacks are in town.
Yes, the sheriff is in town. But we've been talking.
I don't know if you guys have ever been to Laramie, Laramie, Wyoming.
I have not.
I've never been.
I have not.
They love their football out there. So it's
they do.
Fun.
So we are discussing Will Levis, because we heard Will Levis address reporters yesterday for the first time since all of the changes happened in the offseason with the drafting of Cam Ward, of course. And, Tim, anecdotally, it feels like when a starting quarterback gets replaced, he almost always goes somewhere else. So I'm wondering how the Titans can – I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. I'm not saying that – Will Levis and Cam Ward are going to butt heads, but they do have to coexist. Right. And I'm wondering how the Titans go about doing that if Will Levis is indeed on this roster.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much the team can do. I think it really just ends up being a, kind of a personal decision of like, hey, who do you want to be? What kind of teammate do you want to be? How do you want to be viewed by your teammates? Not just, the other quarterback, but like, how do you want your team to respond to you? And I guess from the team's perspective, I think you can have a conversation. Like, if I were in Brian Callahan's situation, I would say I would bring Will Levis in and be like, hey, here's the deal. Like, this is not how you would have forecasted it, right? But, we felt like we had an opportunity to improve our teams. We drafted a quarterback. And so you can do one of two things. You can, be combative and dismissive and disruptive about it, and you'll get viewed a certain way. Or you can be a guy that's like, hey, look, you're going to be supportive, but you're also going to compete your tail off, and you're going to try to make Cam even better. And then when you get your opportunity to play, your team is going to see the way that you supported the guy that came in to replace you, and they're going to play harder for you. Like, that's typically how it works. And so, look, you can handle it however you want, but those are the two paths you can go. I mean, that's, I think, how I would address it from a team's perspective, and then how the player responds to it is on him.
So we've been talking about leadership over these past couple of days because Brian Callahan, he's trying to cultivate new leadership in the Titans locker room. And yesterday was the first day of phase three of OTAs that was open to reporters. And we know that it's voluntary, but it's been reported that the only player who was both not on the field and not in the facility was Jeffrey Simmons. Are we making too big of a deal about that, considering that Jeffrey Simmons is by and large considered by the Titans a leader?
Probably not making too big of a deal of it. I do think that typically locker rooms are more understanding of a guy that's been a really good player for a decent amount of time, which Simmons has been. And then he's maybe got a contract situation he's trying to work through. I usually feel like there's more sympathy in the locker room than typically there is from a fan base. So I could give you an example. I was at the Giants. Michael Strahan didn't want to come to training camp. I think it was a contract dispute. He's holding out. He was in like his 15th year. Everyone knew he was going to be a Hall of Fame player. No one cared that he wasn't there. I mean, the team really didn't. They were like, honestly, he's probably earned the right to come in when he wants to come in and be upset about his contract. It felt like the fans were more upset about it, or the beat reporters were more upset about it than the locker room was. And I'm not saying I know enough to know like where everyone sits with Jeffrey Simmons on it, but I think that he probably would be given more grace by the locker room than a younger player or a player that maybe hasn't accomplished what he's accomplished.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Yes, I understand, but, I mean, we can also look at it as, listen, Jeffrey's not Strahan. And this is you know, I was conveying to, you know, our listeners. Like, listen, I can see – and again, when I say it, Tim, it's not like I'm saying Jeff's a bad player or, you know, a bad person. I'm just saying, you know, if he had put in 10, 15, 12 years – high-level play, and this team was winning, then, yeah, you're right. Man, if he wants to sit out the first day at camp, man, voluntary camp, okay, he's earned that right. We got other guys that can lead. We're good with him. But when you've only won 9 games out of 40, you know, in the last 2.5 years, and your team is in dire need of a leader, and they've tried to put you on this pedestal the last 2 years, I think that's when you do need to say, hey, listen, I need to be there on the first day. And I think that's something that I think people within the organization needs to reiterate to a guy like Jeffrey Simmons. Like, listen, we are at a fragile point now with our organization. We're looking for leaders. And you just have to sacrifice some of your time off, you know, in order to show these younger guys you are a leader. And if they want to go by, you know, what they've been saying, you know, you need to do more than just lead by example, then, okay, you need to be dragging people along with you, Jeff, and you're not there. I'm not going to say you're a bad person, but you're not there.
Yeah. No, look, I think you're right about that. I mean, I'm not disputing that. And that's where I would say I think coaches, and I think in some ways players too, but I think that there is a grace. And you're right. I do think, like, you hit like the decade mark, D-Mace. And guys kind of like, hey, man, 10 years is hard. Like, you do you. Like, you did a good job. You know, like, hopefully I can get there one day. So you're right. Like, that is different. And it is different in terms of your team success and that stuff. Like, I agree with that. I think I would say that the locker room angst on it, I think, just comes a little bit later than it does for the coach, or the front office, whomever it may be. But and I would say you're right. Like, look, man, like, we're looking for solutions, not problems. And you should be a guy that's making a solution happen.
Now, we did have a conversation you know, because at the beginning of all this, we understand how we and everyone else perceive Will Levis. Like, listen, this guy is not a starter. He's botched games, this and that. And we were, and listen, rightfully so, because he wasn't playing well. So, you know, whether you were on him hard or you were just on him, but you never thought that, okay, he was the solution. But now all of a sudden it seems as if, okay, now we know what happened. We know the process. And now it's almost, well, it started, I think, during the draft. It's almost this sympathy for Will Levis now. Now it's, well, he didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have playmakers, you know, this and that. So we went from getting, what was the word again?
Antipathy.
Yeah, antipathy.
To sympathy.
To sympathy. Do you, why does that happen in the world of sports?
That's a great question. I don't know why, but you're exactly right. Like,
because it seems like that's like, what we've gotten with Will Levis.
Yeah, and I think like the Giants got there on Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. and the Patriots, I think, were there at one point with Mac Jones, and I think it definitely happens to guys. It's like, well, you know, was it really his fault? Like, and maybe it's because, you know, in the moment, we definitely are too critical of quarterbacks or give them too much credit. And so, you know, then all of a sudden you let the dust settle a little bit and you go, okay, well, like, he wasn't that bad. Like, yeah, he was bad in that game, but, like, man, what was, you know, we were kind of bad all around. Like, we couldn't stop anybody. And so, like, we can't lay it all at his feet. So I think there's some of that. And then, look, I think sometimes, too, like now with the hope of the new guy, you try to protect that guy a little bit too and go, hey, remember how bad it was here? You know, if we pull it out, if we get pulled out of this mess, this guy's a miracle worker. You know, and get some of that too.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. And Tim, you articulated exactly what the mindset needs to be from both ends of this for Will Levis to sort of give it a try and try to make it work. Here, I'm just looking through history. I've been racking my brain. I haven't done the research to look that deep. But off the top of my head, I can't think of a whole lot of situations where a guy does what Levis did for 2 years, where he sort of is given the chance to be the quarterback, stays with the same team and settles in as the backup for the next however many years. It just seems like most of the time he's going to get the guy gets a new fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'm trying to kind of rack my brain over it of, like you said, like I don't know where that happened. Like, man, I just was thinking. I'm like, I don't, you know, where the guy was a starter, he settles in. Like, I just think of my brother's situation. He was a starter. Trent Dilfer came in, played better. He was the backup for a little bit, and then Trent got hurt. And so, you know, Matthew had another opportunity. Like, that's, you know, that's different, right? The guy settling in. Kellen Clements in New York, like, was a second-round pick, was the guy for a little bit, but, like, didn't really settle in as, like, hey, I'm going to be the backup there. So, you're right, it typically doesn't happen. I think sometimes because a guy who, you know, has been a starter, you know, oftentimes the league will look at a guy who's played and started games before, and somebody will see something in him and think to give him a chance. You know, I think Mason Rudolph, you know, to an extent. Mm-hmm. You
that
know,
might
where
be
that
one
happens.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, it's typically unlikely. It doesn't often happen. And I think that's more of a case of, you know, as teams look to better their quarterback room, you want to find guys that have played and started games. And you do that by, you know, picking up, you know, somebody else's, you know, temporary starter that didn't work out.
Okay. So we've seen Caleb Williams's explanation of the book, and I didn't really mean all this, and I really did want to come to the Bears. Do you think his story is going to fly?
I think this. I think quotes and stuff like that, guys mimic, you know, an opinion, but, like, I think you are who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think you can fake yourself through an entire career or years of being in a certain place and your teammates, you know how you really feel. Like, I don't think you can. And so I don't think that there's going to be anything in a book or, you know, a newspaper quote or anything like that that people aren't going to be like, yep, that's in character, out of character. Like we say to our kids sometimes, we'll say, hey, you know, it's like, say there's a kid who, like, does everything right. He's polite, does everything, like, makes good decisions, does his homework, like, all the stuff, right? And we go, hey, if we told you that this guy, you know, whatever, was, you know, whatever, vaping on campus, you know what I mean? Something like that. Would you believe it? They're like, no, you wouldn't believe it. It's like, no, you wouldn't, right? Because it's like, that feels out of character to him, right? Like, I kind of feel like it's a similar thing, right, with Caleb. Okay. You're like, there are guys that probably read those things and are like, yeah, I believe he was said that. Yeah. Like, that sounds right.
And even if he, like, if you have so many good attributes going for you and you find out in retrospect that the guy was vaping on campus, maybe you're more apt to forgive that person because it's outweighed correct. By the good impression he's made.
The good, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I just think, like,
he can overcome it.
I think you overcome it. I think because if it's like, no, that's not okay. He put his guard down at one point, was frustrated. Like show me like who you are, you know, most of the time. You know what I mean? Like, who have you
yes.
showed me that you are? What kind of teammate are you?
I'm curious sometimes the PR strategy when he goes up and he knows that question's coming. Are you better off just saying, you know what, we did some stuff, my dad and I didn't know what was going on. It was probably a mistake. Can you forgive me, kind of thing, rather than, yeah, you know, that didn't really mean all, you know, that there's different tactics, right? I'm always curious which tactic the guy takes when he's in a pickle like that.
Oh, I think what is it like, you know, like the more you start lying, right?
Right.
The more you start
right.
lying,
the
like
dumber
the
it
worse
sounds.
Yeah, you just, you know, now all of a sudden, like the cover up becomes worse than the crime, right? Like,
yes.
You know, and so it's bad. Like, you're much better off being like, hey, listen, I had no idea what was going on. I'm a young player, a lot of stuff going on, you know, hearing different things. One thing I can tell you is, like, I love being a Chicago Bear, right? I hope I spend my entire career being a Chicago Bear. And I love the, you know, McCaskies. I love my teammates. I love playing for this city. And so, like, you know, comments that I made when I really wasn't educated about how awesome it is to be a Chicago Bear, like, I regret those things. Like, boom, just, like, just own it and then, like, and then show up at every Cubs game you can go to with a Cubs hat.
Right.
Every Blackhawks
sing the
game.
Sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the seventh
listen,
inning stretch.
Not, like, I'm serious about that. Like, I remember
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Going up to a Red Sox Mariners game wearing a Mariners hat and was like, dude, like, don't do that. Like, don't do that. Like, that's the easiest way to get them upset with you. Like, I mean, look, Taylor Lewan goes to a Preds game and chugs a beer, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, yeah, he's one of us, man. Like, we like this guy.
Oh, man. Mookie Betts, I remember he came to a Predators game, and I honestly don't think Mookie realized they were playing the Bruins.
Uh-huh.
And then, but Nesson found out that he was there. They wanted to interview. So he had to make, like, and Mookie, he grew up in Nashville, right? He was a guest of the Predators, so he didn't want to do anything to get the Predators
them off, yes.
But he was very aware that, hey, I can't be wearing a Predators jersey on Nesson. You know, so that was a tough one for him.
Yeah, just the awareness, right? Like, just yeah. Like you are, like, you're playing the game a little bit. Hey, I remember we did a segment one time where I forget what it was, but, you know, the offseason had started for the Titans. And I think Ryan Tannehill was, you know, was on a boat in Florida. And it was like,
oh, my gosh.
Hey, it was
yeah.
like, and it was just like, you know, like, it just was the bad timing of the Instagram post. It wasn't,
yeah.
you know, it's like, just you know, be careful.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, proud Wyoming football dad.
He's going to get some brown and gold gear now.
We're just talking about Broncos and getting trampled by them.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. He'll be a cowboy. He can, exactly. he can wrestle some of those Broncos.
Exactly.
He can lasso them.
Great stuff, Tim, as always. Thanks.
See you, fellas. Have a good day.
Yep.
615-737-1025. A reminder that we are out here at Hermitage Golf Course for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. 1025 The Game is your racing station. Tune in this weekend for all of the NASCAR races at the Nashville Super Speedway on The Game, presented by Green Trees. Tomorrow, the Rackley Roofing 200 at 7 o'clock, Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 6:30, and Sunday, the Cracker Barrel 400 at 6. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Green Trees Company is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville. Also available online at greentreeswithaz.com. Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. I want to remind all of you that you can visit 615open.com to take part in the silent auction benefiting Folds of Honor. A lot of really cool experiences available for auction. I'm seeing Incubus here performing Morning View in its entirety, WWE Friday Night SmackDown, Dude Perfect, Katy Perry, Linkin Park, Eric Clapton, Keith Urban, Nate Bargatze, autographed paraphernalia, a NASCAR weekend experience, a lot to bid on there. For a great cause. By the way, the leader so far, $1,400 for Sabrina Carpenter. I mean, I don't blame you if you want to pay that much to see Sabrina Carpenter. Go for it. 615-737-1025. We will be joined next by Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. One half of the Stanley Cup Final is set. I just want to say this, and I'm going to talk to Elliot about it. Hockey is a Sun Belt sport now, baby. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to talk about it with Elliot Freeman coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.